Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. And what if your love life was like a perfectly aged wine, vibrant and full of life? We have today here author and vintner Bonnie Mayer as we discuss her beautiful story of love, loss, passion, and grief set in the romantic era of the Napa Valley as it rose to world-renowned fame as a wine center. And this is a beautifully sweet story that Bonnie really shares deeply in her book, Perfectly Paired, how the process of love and life and loss polished her just like a fine wine. And we're lucky to have Bonnie. She's very accomplished. She is the principal of the Mayer Family Enterprises, which is an investment company dedicated to the regeneration of the planet and society. And she and her husband, Justin, were the owners of Silver Oak Cellars in the Napa Valley for a long time. And that's sort of what the center of her book is about. So welcome so much to the show today, Bonnie.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Good to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you. So tell us a little bit about how you came to write this beautiful book that's about loving and losing your husband, Justin.
When I first met Justin, he was a monk. And so many people asked me to write the story of our meeting and our romance and how and why he left the monastery. So that's what, so for decades, people have been urging me to write that story, which I didn't actually want to write. I figured this is my private story. I don't need to share this. And then one day I realized that in sharing that story, I also gave me an opportunity to talk about things I really cared about, which encompass, you know, that I really believe that we all deserve a phenomenal and extraordinary relationship, which was very obvious to others in my relationship with Justin. And I, from my point of view, it's actually fairly simple. And yet it seems so elusive. I also gave me an opportunity to talk about the alchemy of love and grief and the transformative opportunity that diving into both love and grief are for all of us.
Yeah, I really loved how you started out your book that way, talking about alchemy, which is one of my favorite topics, sort of the process of transformation, and how wine is a process of alchemy too. It's sort of this mysterious, like grapes and the yeast on the skin of the grapes begins a fermentation process, and that love and loss and wine were this beautiful sort of allegory of your life together.
That's yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I didn't realize this for a long time, but wine is a classic symbol of alchemy from time immemorial. And because alchemy in fairly simplistic terms is taking something ordinary and transforming it into something extraordinary.
Right.
And
yeah, it's like wine, it literally changes the structure of it. It's like starts out as grapes and becomes wine, and it's not the same thing as it was before.
Yes, and especially at the hands of a great viticulturist and enologist, it becomes, you know, there can be very much, there's a lot of ordinary wine and grapes will naturally ferment, but you put it in the hands of a magician and it can become something that extraordinary. What sometimes I talk about the nectar of the gods. You know, a fabulous wine is just out of this world. Yeah.
And going back to how you met Justin, I mean, it was quite amazing, sort of the synchronicities that happened that lined up that you met. And he was a monk. And there was a while you were considering even becoming a nun. And we tell us a little bit about how you tempted him out of the monkhood.
I didn't intentionally tempt him. But here's basically how it went. We met each other on his birthday. The young man that brought me to the party said, "Bring your guitar." Brother Justin and I spent all night playing music, as it turns out, after the birthday dinner. And so we were instant friends, but we actually struggled for about 5 years. After a number of months, we kept spending time together. And after over a number of months, we realized we were in love with each other, but we couldn't and wouldn't do anything about it. And just, we were dedicated to the idea that we weren't going to be together as a couple. And in retrospect, those 5 years, even though they were so difficult to really fully, we were both fully open to each other in love and admiration and respect. And yet, you know, just also, again, focused on not knowing that we couldn't be together. That actually created an amazing, I think one of the reasons our relationship was extraordinary is it created this foundation for our relationship that was based in non-attachment. And since then, I really have learned from other traditions about the principles of non-attachment, and that works so well. And that doesn't matter what stage you are in your relationship, how many years you've been together. When you can be with someone and love them absolutely completely without being attached, that's a recipe for beautiful alchemy and extraordinary love.
It really came through in your book that you guys seemed like you were dedicated to allowing each other to fully be who you both were, even when it could be problematic. For example, the day before Justin passed away, you were sad that he wasn't taking care of his health. And he said, I am who I am. Like, I'm a person that I live the way I'm going to live. and then died.
He said something that was, he just looked at me and he says, "Don't you know who I am?" Right? I mean, we had been married for 30 years by then. And don't you know who I am? And that really struck me and just blew apart this concern, legitimate concern I had for him. And said, "Yeah, that's right. That's who you are."
Right. Wow. And you start the book by talking about how he passed and sort of the beautiful signs and connections, like your state of mind and the beautiful signs and connections that you had with him after he passed. Is that something you can share a little bit with us about what that was like for you?
Absolutely. I would love to share that. You know, and one reason is it gives other people hope when they're with a partner who they're losing to illness or have just lost a partner, to know that the relationship continues and the connection continues. When Justin died suddenly of a heart attack, so neither one of us had any warning. And when actually, I could tell the moment that he died, and I had read books on near-death experience. So I really had enough, even in that tragic moment, I had enough peace of mind to have reverence for this spirit and to see and feel his spirit leaving his body. And so his death, as awful as it was a really sacred, very deeply sacred experience for me. And then the next day, my daughter had been away, and she traveled. I called her. She traveled by plane to come home. And that night, I was sitting on the bed next to her. She was in the bed where Justin usually would sleep. And we were quietly talking. And there was a little fountain in a niche across the room from where we were, about 10 or 12 feet away. And as we were talking, a pebble from that fountain flew across the room and landed at my feet. And Holly and I both looked down to the pebble, and then we looked at each other. Then we looked down at the pebble again and looked at each other. We did that again a third time. And then Holly just looked at me and she said, "Hi, Daddy." Mm. And it makes me cry every time I tell that story. And we just knew. I mean, there's no other way, you know, that this pebble, we knew it was him. We knew it was him just saying, "Hi, I'm here. I'm here with you." And the very next morning, there was a hairdryer on the side of the bathroom wall that was one of those old hotel hairdryers where you take the nozzle off and the hairdryer goes and you dry your hair. And Justin hated it because he was always hitting it with his elbow and the nozzle would come off. And that next morning, I was in the bathroom and the hair dryer started going. And I thought, well, that's curious. So I take the nozzle off, put it back on, and it's still going. And I do that a couple times and I just shrug my shoulders and I go, "I guess it's broken." And then it stopped. I thought, that's curious. And by that evening, I realized, and by then I had my best friend had arrived. And by then we realized that every time I was in a deep state of grief, the hairdryer would go wild. And as I calmed down, the hairdryer would calm down. And as I really got peaceful again, the hairdryer would stop.
Wow.
And so, again, it was just so obvious that was Justin saying, "I'm here with you. Everything's going to be okay. I'm here with you." And that went on for about a year, by the way.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, that went on for about a year. And later on, I learned how to connect with him in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Seems like he was really responding to your emotional states, you know, and
yes,
using the hairdryer to kind of, you know, let you know that he was feeling you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a kind of a little hug or a pat on the back. You know, "I'm here. Mm. It's okay. Everything's going to be all right."
It's a beautiful story. I think you're right. Like so many people that have lost. So my father just passed away a few weeks ago, and my parents were married for 60 years, you know, and it's like our house is full of signs of my dad, and my mom, you know, is really connecting with him all the time in so many different ways. And I just think that it's a comfort to all of us that, you know, what you said is true. It's like when they leave this form, but they don't leave us.
Well, that's right. And I have to say, I've asked people, "So has anything happened, you know, after your beloved or your parents or brother have died? Have you noticed anything?" "Well, yeah, I noticed this, but, you know, I wish I could connect with them." And they will tell me about these things that have happened. And yet, they just have a hard time because our culture doesn't fully embrace this whole idea. People have a hard time really letting that in. And and the more you let it in, the more it happens. And so hopefully one of the messages in my book and the experience of your mother really and helps encourage us all to say, "Hey, this is really the way things are. This is our spirits really don't die, and this can be a comfort to you, and this can be a more widely accepted experience, so we can let it in, so we can let the experience in. And in other cultures, by the way, it's very normal in the Hawaiian culture to accept all these things. So it's really just cultural. And the more open we are, the more we get to enjoy that continuing relationship.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your experience. I'd love to talk a little bit about wine, because wine is such a central theme of your life and your book. And you mm-hmm. and you and Justin were the owners of Silver Oaks Winery Vineyard, which is one of the mm-hmm. one of the premier wineries in Napa Valley. Mm-hmm. How did you guys come to be owning a vineyard?
I met Brother Justin when I was a student at UC Davis, and he was finishing his master's degree. As a Christian brother, he was actually studying winemaking and grape growing there so that he could run Christian Brothers. And then when he decided to leave, he really wanted to stay at Christian Brothers. But it wasn't in their paradigm to have a non-religious, a non-brother be in charge of the winery there. Mm. So while he was a student, though, he had Christian Brothers was making over 40 different kinds of wines and brandies. And that was a little frustrating for him. He felt like it was being really pushed into doing more and more by their marketing company and not by what's wonderful. And so he had this opposite reaction. Sometimes we experience things in our life and we go completely in the other direction. And he, said, you know, I think Napa Valley and Alexander Valley, which is a little northwest of here, the perfect grape for these places is Cabernet, and that's what it should focus on. And that's what I would like to do. I would like to start a winery that's just a Cabernet winery. So he had this idea just as he was leaving the brothers, an idea that had been forming and growing inside of him for a little while. And it just so happens, another synchronicity that he met about that time in between when he left the brothers and we were married, he met a guy named Ray Duncan, who is an oil man from Colorado, who had just bought a lot of property, encouraged by a friend of his. And he was looking for somebody to farm it. So he approached Justin to see if he would plant his 500 acres to grapes. And just says, well, I could, but I don't want to. What I want to do is start a winery. And that evening over a barbecue, they decided to go into the wine business together. And so Silver Oak, we started, Justin and I thought we were going to do this gradually with, you know, just a few dollars here and there. And having Ray Duncan as our financial partner made it so that we could grow faster and establish Silver Oak sooner. And so Silver Oak, dedicated to just one wine, just dedicated to Cabernet. And the first grapes were crushed the same week we were married. So we just jumped in right into it. Yeah. And Ray was a fabulous partner.
It's Silver Oak Cabernet is like sort of famous as a lover's wine, isn't it? It's like so many, it's like used in like weddings and people get engaged there, and it's like for toasting, like, I don't know. And I feel like, you know, talk about this in your book, that sort of the energy of love that you had together and you had with your family and that you put into your winery came out in the grapes. And so that people feel love when they drink your wine, which I think is such an excellent form of alchemy.
Yeah, I really felt like that was true. People say, well, so how did Silver become so famous? And so popular. And I think it's just the reverence that we had for our employees and for our purveyors, for our distributors, for our customers, and the love for what we were doing. I really feel like it infused the wine with that the wine ended up being infused with the love. And when you're passionate, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't have to be wine, you know. Whatever you're doing, if you're passionate about it and you pour your own love into what you're doing, I think it just makes life so much better, and people can feel it. People can feel it.
And what wisdom do you think that you have for, you know, you talked in the beginning of your book about how some people are very blocked from love, very blocked from passion. How could you advise somebody who would like to have a love affair like you have, or a love affair with life, with wine, with their life purpose, with their life partner, all the ways that you've been able, sort of stunningly and miraculously, that you've been able to engage in the world on all those levels and with your children? Like, it's every aspect of your life has this passion and love to it. What's the secret? How can we do that?
I think it's another spiritual principle. So there's non-attachment, but there's also vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And when we are, there's a huge power in vulnerability. We think of it as being not powerful, but it's the opposite. And when we're not afraid to just go for something and to be who we are, that really opens our heart. I would also say, by the way, that I talk a lot about grief in the book, and so many of us are experiencing grief, whether it's loss of a loved one or loss of a job or loss of life the way it was, you know, 6 months ago. All that loss, that grief actually opens your heart like nothing else can. That is the gift, at least what I found. The gift of grief. And right. By being vulnerable and by opening up to these things, it allows for the amazing to step in and allows for that alchemy to transform our hearts and souls.
That's beautiful and wonderful advice. I was feeling when I was reading your book, it's like these are people who love in a hundred, like an unabashed way, 100% without knowing you're going to get hurt, knowing that there's going to be loss and grief and change, and yet still giving fully to it. And that I thought it was very lovely, very inspiring.
You just do it anyway, right?
No guarantees, right? You're all going to face loss.
No guarantees. And I would say, again, in retrospect, fearlessness has served me well. It didn't do so well on the ski hill. I've hurt myself a couple of times, but in general, fearlessness is really has really fueled an amazing life.
Yeah, Bonnie, you're such an inspiration, and your book, Perfectly Paired, is just lovely. It's so heartwarming and lovely. So, how can people find it?
People can find it at my website, BonnieMeyer.com. You've got it up there. They can buy it there. They can buy it on Amazon. And then there's another site called bookshop.com, which is an Amazon competitor. They can also find it there. So it's everywhere.
That's great. And you also are part of this foundation that you're working with now that's sort of has very strong ecological intentions.
Meyer Family, right? Yeah, Meyer Family Enterprises. You can find Meyer Family MFEnterprises.com is my business website. And if you're interested in regenerative investing or farming, it's all there. I'm still in the farming business. You know, growing wine is growing grapes, which is just farming at the end of the day.
Right. Wow. Well, thank you so much for writing your beautiful. And I just wanted to say, like, when you talked about vulnerability, just to really applaud and admire your vulnerability and writing so open-heartedly, so transparently, and sharing like so deeply your process of alchemy and transformation in the relationship that you had with Justin. It's really beautiful. And I think so inspiring, so rare and precious. So thank you for writing such a raw and beautiful book.
You're welcome. And wanting to encourage others to deeper intimacy, I realized that I needed to be right in a very intimate way.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today, Bonnie.
Thank you, Lisa. Great to be with you.
Thank you. And thank all of you guys for tuning in and listening. If you want to find out some more about me, you can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. And we are just pleased as punch to have you here with us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we're healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.